Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathira. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the strength to say something, since you have said to listen to something and I have said to say something. In whichever condition our Allah keeps us, we must be pleased and happy. Sometimes He gives us good health, gives us wealth, gives us prosperity, gives us everything that we desire, and then tests us for sabr, for shukr. And sometimes He gives ill health, poverty, or some other trials and tribulations come upon the person, and Allah Ta'ala tests him for sabr. Once again, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is beautiful saying, jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hai us haal ko akmal dekha hai, jis raah se wo le jate hai us haal us raah ko ashal dekha hai, jis raah se wo le jate hai us raah ko ashal dekha hai. Once we get this yaqeen, then everything is easy. But we are extremely weak, so we should not show our strength. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was making ah due to pain. So somebody told him, Umar, you Khalifatul Muslimin, so powerful and strong a ruler that the emperors of Persia and Rome shiver when they hear your name, and you are making ah. He says, when my Allah wants to show that, Umar, no matter how strong an Amirul Mu'mineen you may be, but you are weak. Allah Ta'ala wants me to show my weakness. I am in pain and He wants me to express my weakness. So I am not complaining of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In other words, it is not permissible to complain of Allah Ta'ala. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who could have had more sabr and shukr than him? But he was making on one occasion wara sa. He had a terrible headache. Cloth was tied around his forehead, and he was saying, oh my head, I mean, what a headache I have got. So this was not complaint of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If a person goes to a doctor and says, I've got pain in my chest, I've got pain in the arms, I've got pain in the head, so he must give it as a form of information, that this is the information of the weakness of my body or the state of my health. And since it is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions to take treatment, so therefore I seek some cure, some treatment. But then believe firmly that the cure is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. I think I mentioned in some other majlis, dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur, marizon ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. There is definitely effect in dua also and in dawa also, but the cure will only come when Allah Ta'ala has decided. But that dua will not go waste. In place of what that person has asked for, Allah Ta'ala will give him something better. So a mu'min is, he enjoys all conditions. But because we are very weak, therefore we must ask Allah all the time for good health, for happiness, for contentment, for prosperity. But then whatever condition comes, we must accept it. So brothers, the ayat of the Quran Sharif you have heard many times, which I just recited, and it just came to mind now after completing my witr namaz, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to announce, to tell, to say, that my salat, my qurbani or hajj, my life and my death, Everything is for Allah. This is that lacking ingredient in all our ibadat, in our muamalat, in our zikr, in our tilawat, in our gasht and ta'lim, in our tabligh, in our madrasas, in our khanqas, in our darul ulooms. We are not talking about those few who really go with sincerity and with ikhlas to make amal on whatever they listen to. That is a very small percentage. Take darul ulooms, take khanqas, take tabligh. Very small number or very small percentage really are sincere that all we want is to fill this heart of ours with the noor of taqwa so that we do everything that Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do and we stay away from everything that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared haram. Very small percentage really has that kind of ikhlas. And that is the reason that we are not seeing the fruits of big, big gatherings, hours and hours of bayans and talks, conferences, seminars, and everything taking place, and the speakers also of a very high caliber, but it is not having an impact, because either the speaker hasn't got that ikhlas in his heart, or either the listeners haven't got the ikhlas in their hearts, or either the organizers haven't got ikhlas in their hearts. Somewhere along the line, there is a missing link. Check it out and you will find it. That either the listeners haven't got ikhlas, they have gone there either for show, for entertainment, for pleasure, or just to listen to some talks, or to meet friends, or to do some shopping, or so any other reason. Or they have gone to the khanqas so that they may become known as having a close companionship and association with a great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That so-and-so became the khalifa of so-and-so. Because the shaykh sometimes, whilst you are there in the khanqah, he looks at your condition and he gives khilafat. Somebody objected once and said that so-and-so, he was given khilafat by a great buzruk, and afterwards, that same person committed adultery. So how did that shaykh give him khilafat? So Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with noor. When he was giving khilafat to one of his khalifas, he said, Maujuda hal ko dekhte hue, at present what your condition is. And most of the Ahlullah, that is what they say, that looking at your present condition, we are giving you this khilafat, but it is not necessary that this present condition will remain all the time. If you don't look after it, if you don't look after it, then you don't blame the sheikh for that. If a person goes to a doctor and says, I want a medical checkup, the doctor checks his sugar, he checks his blood pressure, he checks his temperature, he checks everything. And when he checks him up, he says, you are fit, healthy, and I give you a certificate of good health, that you are in absolutely good health. After that person comes out from that surgery, then he goes to the bar and says, the doctor has said that I'm in perfect health. He's given me a certificate also. So I've got the license now. So he goes and takes a few beers. And then he goes and indulges in everything that is haram, and he damages his health. So now would you blame the doctor who gave him that certificate of good health? He gave him on his condition when he came to the surgery. And then he would have advised him that you keep up the exercise that you are doing, you keep up the good healthy food that you are eating. All those things he will advise him, that he must keep it up. The diet, the precautions that have to be taken. If you keep up all that, inshallah, you will stay in that good health. But if you don't, then it's not necessary that this health of yours will remain the same. The same in the spiritual world and spiritual field. That many people, they progress, they come to a certain level, they go to a sheikh, he looks at their present condition and gives them khilafat. After that, they think that they have got khilafat, means that you don't have to do anything now. Whereas after that, the real lessons begin. And the real fears the person should have after that, more fear of Allah Ta'ala. He should make more zikr, more tilawat, more ibadat, and be more concerned. Then he will keep progressing until he will reach very high stages. So what I am saying is that in most of our programs, either the listeners are not mukhlis, they are not really keen on making islah of their souls and nafs, It is just that it becomes like a routine that we go and attend a majlis, we attend a program, we go out for some talim, and or the speaker hasn't got that ikhlas in his heart. And as a result, he can't seem to pass on anything to anyone. People who sit in his majlis, as they sit, they get up, and no difference, no change comes about. Or the organizers of such programs, they are motivated by so many other worldly reasons, and as a result, the benefits do not come to the surface. Look at our akabir. Right from the time of the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Ali Majmeen, there's so many incidents, but let us just take Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is famous. Little children also have heard that in schools and in madrasas. That Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he flattened an enemy, and then he climbed onto him and he was about to take his neck off, and this was in a battle. And this enemy spat on his face. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately got up. He left him. Now his life was in danger. Just leaving that enemy like that, his life was in danger because it was a battle. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, look at his ikhlas, that he was prepared to let his life go. He was prepared to take shahadat. But he was not prepared to die as a person who had nifaq or hypocrisy or what we may term as riya and show. That this person had no, or as a person without ikhlas, insincerity. And the reason for that was that this person, when he spat on the face of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him afterwards when he asked and questioned that why did you do this? I was under your sword and you could have taken my neck off. He said, all the time I was fighting for my Allah. But when you spat on my face, then I became angry. My nafs became angry. So the anger that I had with which I came into this jihad was no more for my Allah. It was now for my nafs. And if I had taken your life, my Allah would have questioned me on the day of judgment. Because I did not take your life for his pleasure. So that person accepted Islam. He went back to his people and they accepted Islam. The ikhlas of one person, how many people accepted Islam? Read the books of history, we will learn. It comes to mind the incident of Abu Bakr Shibli, rahmatullah alayh. He was walking past and he saw that a boat had come in and there were many drums on it, barrels of beer that had been brought for the Khalifa of the time, for the governor of the time. So they knew him that he was a great person, a wali of Allah. So they did not do anything when he took a chopper and he started breaking those drums and those barrels. The people on the boats, they left him, let him do it. They said, we'll go and complain to the Khalifa, we'll go and complain to the governor. Why should we do anything to this wali of Allah? So he broke the 99 and he left one. There were 100 barrels, he broke 99, he left one. So when he was brought to the Khalifa asked him that, why did you do this? Who appointed you as a guard over me and over my people? He said, my Allah has appointed me that. So he said, but if that was the case, then why did you break only 99? And why did you leave that one? He says, when I was breaking those 99, it was for the pleasure of Allah. But when I came to the 100th one, my ego became blown. And now my nafs came in, that look at yourself, what a great person you are. You destroyed all these barrels, and it came for the Khalifa, and he can take your life. So now my nafs came in. So therefore I let that one go. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, he has written an incident. He says in the Bani Israel, there was one abid, a great abid, a worshipper, who used to make his ibadat all the time. For a Muslim, it is not sufficient to make our ibadat only. Just to make our namaz, just to make our zikr, our tilawat is not sufficient. It is our duty to invite others also by means of waaz, nasihat, amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar, towards all the ahkam of deen also. But in the Bani Israel, certain things were jais. So he was making ibadat all the time. Somebody came and informed him that there are people that are worshipping a tree. There are people that are worshipping a tree. So he became emotional and he took his chopper and he went to chop down the tree. On the way, Shaitan came to him in human form and told him that, Hazrat, where are you going? He came in the shape of an old man, white beard and very pious looking, and he said, where are you going? He said, no, I'm going to chop down the tree because the people are worshipping that tree. And it is my duty to stop them from that. So he said, why are you so worried about them worshipping that tree? You keep going with your ibadat. You keep making your namaz, your tilawat, whatever you are doing. Let them worship. Allah Ta'ala hasn't ordered you to go and stop them, because this is the time of the Nabis. And those ummats were not given the duty that Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ummat was given. So he said, Allah Ta'ala hasn't ordered you as he orders the Nabis. So if Allah Ta'ala wants to stop them from worshipping that tree, then he will send his Nabi to the people and tell them that they must go and stop these people from worshipping that tree. So you carry on with your ibadat. So the Buzruk, that Wali and that Abid said that, no, I will go and chop it down. So Shaitan said, well, let's have a fight. So they both started fighting. So in that fight, that Wali of Allah, that Abid, he overpowered Shaitan. Allah Ta'ala's help and Nusrat came and he overpowered him. He flattened him. But he did not know that was Shaitan. So he said, all right, forgive me for having made you angry and annoyed you, and he went away. The next day again this Buzruk got up and he said, I'm going to cut that tree. He meets again Shaitan on the way. Again Shaitan in human form, in the garb of a pious person, tells him that you make your ibadat, Allah Ta'ala will reward you for it. Here if you are going to go, you might end up with a problem with those people that are worshipping, and it will deprive you of your ibadat, and you will lose concentration on your zikr that you are making, and all those kind of stories. They start telling him. Again they ended up with a wrestling match, and again this Buzruk flattened him. Then Shaitan told him, he said, listen, I will tell you one thing, that I know you are a poor person. I know you are a poor person, but it is your heart's desire also that you spend upon the poor, upon the needy, upon the orphans, upon the widows. It's your heart's desire, isn't it? So he said, yes, that is my heart's desire, because he's an abid, he wants to do good deeds. See, if I have money, then I will do all those things. He says, well, in any case, that tree, if you're going to cut it down, what is going to really help you? But if you get 2 dinars under your pillow every day, then you will be able to buy food for yourself, buy your clothing, buy your other requirements. And you will be able to give 2 dinars, 2 gold coins in those days was worth plentiful. And you can also give to the poor, to the needy, you can take care of the needs of so many others. So look at it, how Shaitan comes in beautiful form. So the Abid thought over it and said, yeah, indeed, I think that makes sense. So he said, all right, leave the tree then. But make sure that what you are promising, you are going to do. That 2 dinars must come to me. They said, no, I promise you I will give you 2 dinars every day. So the first night he slept, the next morning he found 2 dinars. Kept by his house, 2 dinars. 2 or 3 days he found the 2 dinars. So he was quite happy, he made his ibadat. And he slept. Then he did not find the dinars. After 2 or 3 days, no dinars. So again he got up, took the chopper and said, I'm going to go and chop that tree. Those people are worshipping. This time he went, again he sees this Shaitan in human form, just like the time before as he met him. And this time when they had a fight, Shaitan overpowered him. He flattened him and he was about to kill him. Then he said, forgive me, and he got up. So then he asked him, who are you? He said, I am Iblis. He said, how is it that I overpowered you 2 times, and this time you overpowered me? He said, because the 2 times you were going to cut that tree for the pleasure of Allah. So Allah's help and assistance and nusrat came to you. And this time you were going because you did not get the 2 dinars. So my 2 dinars, it took out from you that sincerity. You sold your iman for 2 dinars. You sold your ikhlas for 2 dinars. You sold your muhabbat of Allah for 2 dinars. Where is your ibadat? Of course, shaitan didn't say all these things. I'm saying that this is what he meant. That for 2 dinars, where did that muhabbat go? You were a worshipper of Allah and for 2 dinars you sold your iman and Islam. That ma'rifat of Allah, for 2 dinars you let it go. Because he was just an abid, therefore it is very important to be an alim together with being an abid. An alim doesn't mean that you have to go through a 7-year course. In the context that I am discussing, it doesn't mean that. It means to have the knowledge, sufficient amount of knowledge, that you are conscious of what is happening around you. And you are aware of the tricks of nafs and shaitan, because they come in different forms. As a Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he was making ibadat and he saw his whole room, a cloud of noor. And then he hears a voice, and like candles lit in the cloud, lamps, lanterns. And he hears a voice that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, we are so pleased with you that from today onwards, tonight onwards, we have waived off from you the performance of Salat and this Ibadat and that Ibadat." So the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he caught up that this is Shaitan, and he immediately read La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. That if Namaz was something that could have been made maaf, it would have been made maaf for Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But that Nabi of Allah who was sinless and masoom and so close to Allah, Namaz wasn't made maaf for him. Then who is Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani that he hears a voice that it's made maaf? From this we also learn that if you see a beautiful dream, but if you are directed towards something that is evil and that is haram, or something that is declared openly as shirk or kufr or bidat, then you do not accept that dream, even if you see in the dream a great wali of Allah Ta'ala directing you towards that. These are tricks of shaitan. So then shaitan told him that your ilm saved you. And that was true. It was his ilm that if it could have been waived off, it would have been waived off for Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it was his ilm that saved him. But even on that occasion he was so careful. He said, "No, my ilm didn't save me, my Allah saved me." This was ikhlas. So here he says, for 2 dinars, your ibadat was gone, your tilawat was gone, your muhabbat of Allah was gone, your marifat and yaqeen was gone. That incident took place years ago in the time of Bani Israel. But if we have to look at our condition today, it is no different. Our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, our khanqas, our gush, our talim, our tabligh, for that little while we get that noor in our hearts. But after we come out, for those few dinars we are prepared to sell our iman. In our businesses, if the deal is bringing us profit and it is bringing it to us in a haram way, and we will be really gaining plentiful of this material world, then at that time we forget that just a little while ago we were sitting in a majlis, just a little while ago we were making zikr, just a little while ago we were reading as salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Just a few days ago we were saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. We forget that we told Allah, "Here we are, what is your order? We are prepared to accept." We forget that just now a few days ago we were in ihram. So we are prepared to sell our imans also for those few dinars and for the few dirhams and for the few rands and cents. Brothers, this is the reason why we do not seem to be getting any noor of taqwa in our hearts. That little that we get, we go and destroy it outside through our eyes, through our ears, through our hands and through our feet. Then how do we expect other people to be impressed and other people to be convinced when we cannot convince ourselves first? If indeed Islam and its teachings were haq and it brought peace and happiness and satisfaction and contentment and it brought a taluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we should have been the first ones to be convinced upon it. No matter how much shaitan brought in front of us and placed it and said, "Take this, Leave your Islam one side. Take this, it will help you to give the poor, to give for the masjids, to give for the madrasas. All these collectors are coming to your town and to your city, and everyone wants a big amount from you. And if you are going to give them 10 rand and 20 rand, they will not be too happy. So what's there if you take interest on your money, and after that, from that interest, give to them how much you want. Allah will become pleased with it. Na'uzu billahi min zalim. As one brother who charges interest on the loans that he gives, he told to one of his clients, he said that, I don't think Allah will become displeased with me, because if you went to the bank, you would have had to pay 25%, and I'm only charging you 10%. Can you see how shaitan comes in different forms? The shaitan put in front of him this idea that if this Muslim brother had to go to the bank, they'll charge him 25%, and I'm only charging him 10%. So he says, if you assist a person and you help a person and you show sympathy and compassion towards a person, can Allah become displeased? What kind of an Allah is that? So when they take interest, even their aqal goes dead. When Allah Ta'ala says that, be prepared for war with Allah if you take interest and give interest, then who can prepare for war with Allah? And is Allah in need of that kind of help and assistance? So this ikhlas is something that we can't just get by reading some kitab. If that was the case, everybody would have just picked up some kitab or given some bayan on ikhlas, and ikhlas would have come away into the heart. There was no need to go anywhere for it. Ikhlas would have just come down into the hearts by just giving a bayan. One person wrote, he went to one buzruk with one kitab which he had written on akhlaq. He wrote one whole kitab on akhlaq. Character, good character. And he took it to him to write a foreword on it. He says, Maine ye kitab likhi hai akhlaq ke upar, iske upar muqaddama likh dijiye. But when he went there, he did so many things which were against the etiquette taught by Islam and Sharia. But he had written a whole kitab on akhlaq. So the Shaykh told him, or he told the people, he said, give this kitab back to him, because he left it there, and tell him that the Shaykh said that this person hasn't got akhlaq. Akhlaq nadarat. So he was very surprised that he wrote a whole kitab on akhlaq, and the Shaykh said that he hasn't got akhlaq. So when he questioned, he came now and met the Shaykh, and he questioned that buzrug. He said that, what do you mean? He says, I didn't say you don't know about akhlaq. I didn't say that you don't know or you don't have the knowledge of akhlaq. What I said is that you don't have akhlaq. So this kitab of akhlaq is not going to help anybody until you don't have it yourself. Knowledge will increase. But amal will come when the sohbat of the saliheen will rub onto us. Their hearts are reservoirs of ikhlas. They have made mujahada against their nafs. Now look at that Abu Bakr Shibli Ramatullah Ali. And look at all Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and so many other incidents there are. There's no time to go into all that, and I'm not in the right health today to go into the details. But look at the mujahada that they made against their nafs to bring this ikhlas into their hearts. And when that ikhlas came, then not only did people change their ways of life, but even non-Muslims accepted Islam. Today our anger is not for the sake of Allah. That is our problem. That even when we are doing deen work, our anger is not for the sake of Allah. It is not haram to get angry. But that anger must not be for the nafs. And our anger is all for the nafs. Brothers, if we really have to x-ray our hearts, a child who massages the father's head, who presses his legs, who runs to the supermarket and brings whatever he needs, who runs his business, who cares for him, who tells him, you relax, you rest, you do everything, I will take over everything. You worked hard and you developed this business and you took care of us. It's our duty now to take care of you. So the son does all that for the father. But the only thing the son doesn't do is that he doesn't make namaz. He has a clean shaven face. He wears his pants below the ankle, even sweeping the ground. He goes to the cinema, he goes to the theater, he has a girlfriend or girlfriends. Will this father be angry with this child? He won't be angry. Why? Because he says a very obedient child. I'm talking about the general community, not talking about isolated cases. Son is the most obedient son. I don't even have to get up in the morning, he goes and opens the shop. And everything that he has accumulated, he brings it and puts it in front of me. Anything I need, I just have to open my mouth and he is at my service. So there's no anger coming now at all that he is disobedient to Allah from morning till evening, because he is obedient to him. But on the other hand, there is a child who is very obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is very obedient. But now and again, or sometimes, he did something that displeased that father or that mother. So that parent will blow the top. So that anger, is it for Allah's sake? Is it because that child disobeyed Allah that we got angry on that child? That disobedience that he showed to the parents, our anger, is it because he disobeyed Allah and he disobeyed the parents? So therefore, because of his disobedience to Allah, the father got angry on the child. I hope you're understanding what I am saying. That our anger at that time is not because of disobedience to Allah. It's just because he disobeyed us. So our nafs is hurt. Sometimes a sheikh, he tells something to the murid twice, thrice, four times, and the murid doesn't do it. Now if that sheikh is an ahlullah in the true sense of the word, if he is a muttaqi, kamil sheikh, then his anger upon that murid will still not be because of his nafs. It will be because this murid is disobedient to Allah and he will invite Allah Ta'ala's wrath upon him. So to protect him from the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that sheikh will go on reprimanding him. Unlike that person who is not kamil and muttaqi, so he will say once, he will say twice. And now when he will find that this person who claims to be his friend but is not obeying him, so he'll get angry. But this anger is not because this person is disobeying Allah. But the anger is because I told him three times and he still didn't keep a beard. I told him half a dozen times and he's still taking dakha and drugs. I told him so many times and he's still going and committing zina. So now my anger is not because he is committing sin, he is committing haram. My anger is not because he is displeasing Allah. And in the displeasure of Allah, he is going to invite the wrath of Allah upon him. So out of sympathy and feeling for him, I'm going on telling him, and I'm getting angry now, that why doesn't he listen to me? Because if he carries on like that, then one day he will destroy himself. So what a world of difference there is between that and the other one where the sheikh says now, or that person who was giving dawat towards deen, he says that so many times I told them, then they're still not doing it. Brothers, these are things that you don't hear in many majlises, because we haven't learned to listen to things that affect our hearts and affect our hearts. We are concerned about outward, our namaz, and that too where our namaz is right. The weakness in our namaz only we know. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, was once questioned that described to me the namaz of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, what must I tell you about his namaz? He said, at night when he used to read his salat, that was nafil salat. He says, after he made Allahu Akbar, then I thought that he's not going to make ruku at all. When he went into ruku, then I thought he's not going to make sajda at all. So long he was in ruku, that I thought tonight Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to complete just in ruku. When he stood up from ruku, then I thought he's now not going to go into sajda. That he's going to spend all his night now standing in qawma. When he went into sajda, then Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that I actually had a feeling that my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. In sajda, that was the condition of his sajda, that I thought that my beloved Nabi has departed from the world. So I actually touched his heel to see that he was alive. That was the condition of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruku and sajda, when nobody else was watching. Yes, for the imam, it is said, man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. When you make imamat, then let it be light, because there are all kinds of people in the gathering, weak, old, feeble. But this was the kafiyat of his namaz. Now where can we get that kafiyat in our namaz? So even our namaz is not right. But still, it seems that we are just not concerned about purification of this heart of ours. And believe me when I tell you, I can take million qasams in this masjid and tell you that until we are not going to pay attention to the purification of our nafs and soul, then these evils, they will engulf us in such a way that they will allow no noor of ibadat, zikr and tilawat to remain inside. Jealousy, malice, greed, pride, anger, all these type of things will catch us. Imagine Shaykhul Hadiths have to become bayat for the purpose of Islah. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, what a great alim. And he goes and comes bayat to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah for what? Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangovi Rahmatullah Ali, all of our Akabir, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, Baniya Tabligh, he becomes bayat to Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahab Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali for what? Why did they go to their khankas? For the purification of this soul, because they knew that these Ahlullah are the reservoirs of Ikhlas. One Shaykhul Hadith, he writes to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. He says that Mujhe ghussa bohat aata hai. Now imagine, Shaykhul Hadith is saying that Mujhe ghussa bohat aata hai. Aur jab ghussa aata hai, us waqt mein kabu mein nahi rehta. At that time I lose control and then I say certain things or undertake certain action which is against the Sharia. For example, hitting the child more than is necessary or saying some words which are not to be said. He says, in anger, this is what my condition is. But I'm teaching Bukhari Sharif. So now why did he say this? He could have kept quiet and he could have received the gifts of his students and he could have had them shaking his hands all the time and praising his teaching. But see how concerned they were about the nafs. For Islah, how concerned they were. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah, look at the prescription that he gave him. What a bitter prescription. He says, the next time on whomsoever you get angry, then catch his feet and say, please forgive me. Now you think that was easy for a Shaykhul Hadith now to catch the feet of a student, to catch the feet of some other ordinary person and say that, please forgive me, I'm sorry, I got angry over. Because that anger was not for the sake of deen. For the sake of deen, you get angry, it's different. So he started doing that. He actually started doing that. And then he wrote after a week to Hazrat, he says, Ab bhi pura ilaj nahi hua. Look at the concern, what I'm trying to point out to you, look at the concern that we must not die, we must not leave this world with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with show, with riya and with kibar and with all the other filth in our hearts. Can we do, what are we going to get in the qabr if you're going to take this kind of heart and go there? So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali writes to him. He says, Ab aisa karo, ke jab kisi ke upar beja ghussa aaye. One is haq anger is different. But he says when you get angry over nothing, over something that you shouldn't really get angry, unjustified anger. To unse kaho ke apna juta nikale, aur us jute ko ulta karke apne sar par 5 minute tak rakhiye. Now, can anybody even think of a prescription like this? That when you get angry, unjustified anger, then tell him to remove his shoes, turn the shoe upside down, and keep it on your head for 5 minutes. And tell him that you are making a ilaj of your ghussa. He wrote back, Hazrat, iski himmat nahi hui. Isliye us khat ko padhte hi ilaj ho gaya. Aur ab kisi ke upar beja ghussa nahi aata. He said, Hazrat, that prescription was such a bitter medicine that I didn't have the himmat to do that. So before I could even complete reading your letter, my ilaj was done. But the point here is that Shaykhul Hadiths, but they concern that ghussa, which is at present causing havoc in our society over little things, talaq, 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 or beating up, bashing, booting, kicking. Murders and killings are becoming common over ghussa. But look at how the Shaykhul Hadiths were concerned about their ghussa. What I was going to discuss tonight, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must accept whatever has been said. May he give me also the tawfiq of saying whatever I say with ikhlas. You must make dua that Allah Ta'ala fills my heart with ikhlas.
Amen.
Because if I am going to say with riya and with the niyat of show, then I too will get nothing here and nothing in the akhirah. It is not an easy thing, but at the same time, it is not an impossible thing. We must not say it's impossible. But I always say that if you don't have ikhlas, then don't give up that amal also. If a person doesn't have ikhlas in his namaz, which he is making 5 times a day with jamaat in the masjid, he's always making it, but not with ikhlas. It's just because he is in a family that makes namaz in the masjid with jamaat, and he comes away, or for any other reason, then he must not give it up, saying that there's no ikhlas, so why must I make namaz in the masjid with jamaat? Because if he's going to give up that amal, then where is he going to bring that ikhlas? There must be a container to receive that ikhlas. There must be amal to get the ikhlas inside. If we're not going to have the amal, then where is the ikhlas going to come? Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi said that sometimes an amal starts with riya, with show. Uske baad adat ban jati hai. Then it becomes adat, habit. Person started with show namaz, but then it became habit. And then after reading it with habit for some time, then he realized that I'm reading also tahajjud, I'm making tilawat, zikr, ibadat, and I'm doing it for show, what will I get? Rather make it for the pleasure of Allah. So that riya turned to adat, and that adat turned to ikhlas. But if he left it off there, then where would he have received the ikhlas? So don't ignore the ibadat also. Don't leave it out and say that because there's no ikhlas, so don't do anything. Carry on doing all the good amal and good deeds, whether it's gash, talim, tabligh, whether it is zikr, tilawat, ibadat, whether it is tahajjud, ishraq, chasht, whether it is umrah, whether it is hajj. Carry on. But don't be satisfied that we have got ikhlas e kamil and now we have reached that stage that the great walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reach. Be always on guard, because shaitan has got many, many tricks up his sleeve. He comes to people of ibadat in a different form. He comes to people on the bazaars and marketplaces in a different form. And those who are in the gambling dens and casinos and theatres and cinemas, he comes to them in a different form. He knows all the tricks of how to mislead. But if we connect ourselves with Allah and we keep praying to Allah also that, Ya Allah, we are extremely weak. Save us from the webs and from the traps and from the tricks of nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, we want to be yours and we want you to be ours.
Amen.
If you are not going to guard us and protect us, then we will not be able to protect ourselves. If we keep asking Allah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not going to let our du'as go waste. He will give us ikhlas, inshallah. And when ikhlas will come, then we will find a kafiyat in our hearts. A kafiyat, a feeling, a very different kind of feeling. There will be ecstasy, there will be joy, there will be happiness, that this was done for the pleasure of Allah. Immediate reward that Allah Ta'ala gives to the mukhlaseen is happiness in the heart. Immediate reward. And immediate punishment for sin is restlessness, anxiety and worries. The Ahlullah, when they fall sick and ill, they have no worry. They say, if we die, we're going to meet our Mawla. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Akimud Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, when he had a heart attack, of the 5-6 things that he mentioned, he says, when I was convinced that this is my last, I'm going to pass away. So of the 5 or 6 things he mentioned, 1 or 2, he says, Ya Allah, apni koi aisi tajalli dikha de, ke main jhoomta hua tere paas aa jaau. Now this is a man who is about to die. He says, Ya Allah, show me some tajalli of yours that I come dancing towards you. Ay Allah, mere sab gunaho ko maaf kar de. Those who will be remaining behind me, give them sabre jameel. And a few other nasihats like that he made, or dua he made. And Allah Ta'ala gave him recovery again. And Alhamdulillah, is fit and is carrying on. But what I am saying is that when they were convinced that they are about to die, at that time also they were not concerned about anything else except that they must meet Allah in a manner that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. So this is what Allah Ta'ala wants every believer to have, every believer, every Muslim. And you and I, no matter how far away we may be and how much we may have distanced ourselves from everything. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Don't think it's a very difficult thing. There's no standing on the shores of the ocean with one leg and reading 10,000 times some tasbih to gain that. Nothing like that. Simple, easy things to do. And the only effort that we really have to make in these times of fitna is against sin. That's all. And then see what ikhlas Allah Ta'ala gives in the heart. May Allah Ta'ala bless me with it, bless you with it. Bless our family members and the entire ummah with it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin barik wa sallim. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما, ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما. اے اللہ دنیا اور آخرت کے اندر ہمیں بلائیوں سے مالا مال فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے ایمان کی, جان کی, ہر چیز کی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ فتنے کا زمانہ ہے اور ہر طرف سے فتنے ہی فتنے ہیں. اے اللہ اس فتنے کے زمانے میں ہماری ہر طرف سے حفاظت فرما, ہمیں صحت عطا فرما, عافیت نصیب فرما. ہم بہت ہی کمزور ہیں میرے خدا, ہماری آزمائش مت فرما. اے میرے پیارے خدا ہماری آزمائش مت فرما, ہم بہت ہی کمزور ہیں, ہم آزمائش برداشت نہیں کر سکتے. اے اللہ ہمیں تو صحت عطا فرما, عافیت نصیب فرما, تندرستی عطا فرما. اے اللہ دنیا اور آخرت کی تمام نعمتوں سے مالا مال فرما. اے اللہ جو بھی بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما, جو قرض دار محتاج اور تنگ دست ہیں ان کی تنگ دستیوں کو دور فرما, جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما. اے اللہ جب ہماری موت کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. اے اللہ ہم جھومتے ہوئے تیرے پاس آ جائیں. اے اللہ ایسی حالت میں تیرے پاس پہنچے کہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو اور ہم تجھ سے راضی ہو. اے اللہ do not let the angel of death find us in any sin. Do not let the angel of death find us in a theater, in a cinema, in a gambling den, in adultery, in fornication, or any other haram action. Let our death be on iman, in a state that you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you. Ya Allah, jo kuch kaha suna usko qubool farma. Hame ikhlas ki daulat se mala mal farma. Hamare quloob ko ikhlas se bhar de mere pyare khuda. Hamare quloob ko ikhlas se bhar de. Hamari har ibadat, har tilawat, har zikr, har deeni kaam khalis teri raza ke liye karne ki taufeeq ata farma. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.